It wasn't an intimate relationship she had a problem with. It was a business relationship. Something started to feel off. It took a while before this former crime analyst figured it out. Have you ever hired or worked with someone who made you feel like something was wrong with you? You kept getting this off feeling, but couldn't quite put your finger on it? My guest was taken completely by surprise by the turnaround this person showed, and this confidence coach was fast losing confidence in herself. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today, coming up in the podcast, our guest Kim O'Neill gets vulnerable, sharing how she became confused about a new business relationship, making her doubt her memory, what the person said, and what was really going on. We're going to talk to Kim O'Neill in a moment, and first, a mini masterclass. In this episode, as my guest describes her story, you'll discover that trust becomes the underlying theme, along with doubt and confusion. Listen to the way she moved beyond her experience so you can do it too. But first, I want to share from Freedom Fulfillment Pillar number 6 and talk about trust. Be sure to grab your copy of all 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. Go to theloveiskindnetwork.com/podcast and subscribe. When you enter a relationship, whether it's personal or business, there's an underlying code of mutual respect and trust. If you can't trust the other person, no relationship can develop, right? But trust isn't just with the other person, is it? Trust is with yourself. Trusting yourself, trusting who you are, trusting what you heard, trusting your decisions, trusting your values. So when you enter into a new relationship, you're not thinking, should I trust or not trust this person, or trust myself? You are trusting them and yourself from the get-go. But then things start to shift. They'll say something that makes you kind of confused, but you give them the benefit of the doubt. You just ignore what they said. You make excuses, even though you're not aware you're making excuses for their behavior. You'll just say things to yourself like, oh, I must have misheard or misunderstood or I forgot. Or like in my case, my ex-husband would say, well, you know, I have a better memory than you. He would always tell me that. So I just assume, okay, I must have just forgotten what he said. Or he'll tell me, well, I'm the rational one. So again, or I'm the logical one and you're the illogical one. So you misunderstood. You didn't get it right. But despite all of that, which maybe sounds nice and obvious now, you still realize, it was nothing. It's no big deal. Except something happens again. They'll say things like, if it's like in a personal relationship, I really like you. And if you were like me, then you'd make time to go out with me on Saturday. It sounds kind of nice, right? But really, it's a guilt trip. But you like this person. Or if it is in business and you admire the person, or you're developing this business relationship with them, and it's something you want to do, you want to make a good connection and impression. So you ignore the remark, even if it was both cutting and confusing. I mean, how often? We often give somebody the benefit of the doubt, especially the first time, right? So I think confusion, which I mentioned earlier, is a word you're going to hear throughout this podcast. And it's key because it's like you can't quite put your finger on it. You kind of think something is off. It's good, then bad, then good, then bad again. You know, their behavior is just not consistent. So you kind of get more confused, but you keep making excuses for their behavior. And then you blame yourself for what's going on. So as time passes, you become more doubtful, but you're still not quite fully aware. You just feel. This is really important because as you're not conscious of it, you just have a feeling. So listen to this. You just feel off. You feel something in the pit of your stomach or in your back or somewhere in your body. Something gets tight. where your chest gets tight, your stomach gets tight, but you're still not yet putting it all together. So unknown to you, you know, slowly parts of you get chipped away. And as soon, you know, when you realize that you've been taken advantage of or manipulated or abused, your ability to trust yourself gets crushed. You ask yourself questions like, what's happening? Or what happened? Or how could I have been so stupid? Or why are they behaving this way? More confusion, more trust gets broken. And maybe you finally realize because of this person's behavior so uncertain, you can't trust them fully. But now you feel stuck and guilty to get out of the relationship. So I don't know if you ever heard the story of a frog. It's kind of a sad story if you hear like frogs or any animals, but just bear with me here. You put a frog in cold water and the frog feels fine. And, you know, he's having a great old time. Maybe sometimes he jumps out, but you know, you just put him back in the cold water, but then you slowly turn up the heat and the frog, you know, it's so gradual. He's just not even really aware. So he doesn't try to jump out. And then you turn up the heat some more and then some more. And then the water is too hot and it's too late for the frog. He can't get out. So you tell yourself, oh, I'm not ready, or I can't get out of this relationship. You're nice. Come on, you're nice. Nice people don't go around hurting others and pulling out of relationships. That wouldn't be considered nice. You don't think how this relationship is not only not serving you, because especially if it's in a business relationship, but it's hurting you. It's hurting you. So how can you become more aware to your true self and honor and respect and trust her again? This is so key, because if you've experienced it, you probably know what I'm talking about. And maybe you experienced it and didn't realize what was going on, like me. So I just say there's just some key tips here, and you'll learn more from Kim as we go through it. But just tap into your body. The body never forgets and the body doesn't lie. Just get quiet and present with your body and ask your body, how do I feel about this person? And listen. You'll know if the feeling is warm and fuzzy and comfortable, or if it's agitated. Maybe your stomach is growling, or your back is hurting, or your throat is tight. That's the first step. Just create that awareness. You may not like the answer your body gives you. I get it. I was in denial for decades that I was in an abusive relationship because I didn't want to break it up, even though it was destroying me. I mean, there were parts of him that I liked, right? It's not like the person turns into a total monster. They don't. But there was this other part that was just killing me. And I made more reasons to stay. And I worked on myself every day and, you know, and night for a long time, trying to make the relationship better before I realized that I was fighting with reality, the reality that I didn't want to accept, that my husband was abusive. That was hard to swallow until I got to the breaking point. You don't have to wait until you get to the breaking point when you feel so desperate like I did. My guest today, staying in an unhealthy relationship is serious and can lead to a host of issues. Least of it is like lack of predictivity, depression, feeling shame, confusion like we talked about, anxiety, eating problems, medical issues, self-blaming, PTSD, and so much more. This is what happens. Look, you deserve to be treated with kindness, and that starts by being kind to yourself. Like my guest today, staying in unhealthy relationships is serious and can lead to a host of issues from lack of productive. Like my guest today, staying in an unhealthy relationship is serious and can lead to a host of issues, the least of which is like lack of productivity, but depression, feeling shame, confusion like we talked about, anxiety, eating problems, other medical issues, self-blaming, PTSD, and so much more. I had my share. Just about every woman I've spoken to has had her share too. Listen to those. You're not getting sick for no unknown reason. You deserve to be treated with kindness, and it starts by being kind to yourself. I can help you. Take a moment now to take the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz. Thinking alone is dangerous because if you're like me, you'll create all kinds of stories, meaning you have all kinds of thoughts that you think are true, that you really think you're stuck, but really they're not. Another thing, being alone, thinking no one will understand you is the first false story I want to dispel. Reach out. Reclaiming your voice, your value, your confidence, and courage is a journey I want to take with you. And make sure to listen to episode number one, where I outline my freedom journey to be 100% me and finding the love of my life. You got this. The only way to move forward and create an impact in your life is to know where you're at, where you want to go, and what's holding you back. Get started by taking the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are, where you want to be, and what you'll need to do. If you're serious about evolving into a new, empowered you who can show up as that confident woman she once was or wants to be, then start now. Your life is waiting for you. Go to freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. Today, we're going to meet Kim O'Neill, the inspirational host of the Every Day is a New Day show, 2-time bestselling author, confidence, and interview coach. Her journey of reclaiming her own confidence will give you the inspiration, hope, and strategies to create a more confident, courageous, and commanding you. Kim O'Neill will be here in a moment. And first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to impact 100 million women worldwide who have lost their voice, value, and authenticity in narcissistic, controlling, and abusive relationships. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to Kim O'Neill, confidence and interview coach. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Kim. Hi there, Kim. I am so glad you are here on Vulnerable to Valuable. You've got such a great story, and it's different from a lot of the other guests that I had. And I think it's just going to be so empowering for our listener to hear how this kind of shows up, how you become vulnerable, and maybe when you just don't even expect it. Not that you're expecting it in an intimate relationship either, but it shows up, and I really look forward to hearing about that. First, I want to share with our listener how ultra fabulous you are, because I personally know you. We've seen each other on so many occasions, and each time you're just such a delight. And of course, because she's the inspirational host of the Every Day is a New Day show. She's a 2-time best-selling author, twice certified transformational confidence coach, an interview coach, a Reiki master, and a former crime analyst. I really have to talk about that. In addition to helping empathetic, heart-centered individuals step out of self-doubt and disempowerment and into courageous confidence, she also coaches job seekers and prospective podcast guests in preparing for interviews. Welcome to Vulnerable to Valuable.
Thank you, Rosie. I'm excited to be here. I love who you are. And, you know, this is definitely, just like you said, something that when you go through a situation where you feel like you've been manipulated or taken advantage of, I think most people don't expect it. And to me, that's like the biggest key word, because I never would have ever expected to have a situation like I'm going to be sharing with you today. And yet I think is why it's so helpful and important that you are doing a show. You do more than a show. You do so much to really support and serve people who are in situations that are just, that are these painful, very frustrating, confusing situations. So there's so much more I could say, but thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here and be of service.
You're welcome. And I like how you tapped into it's confusing. But you help with, you know, maybe just elaborate just for a sentence or two, you know, you help women with, or help people, I don't know, maybe women and men, with confidence. And it doesn't matter where you come from. You're the confidence coach. So tell us a little bit more how you're helping women.
Absolutely. So yes, so I most often work with women, but I do also work with men. And so much of self-confidence I have found, you know, it's not the surface level thing. It's not, you know, look this way or do and say this specific thing. And it's not all that. It's really about how are you feeling about who you are internally? Yeah. You know, how are you allowing yourself to embrace the gift that you are and to be in your own energy and, you know, settle into that? And because that then has this ripple effect that shows up outwardly in someone's confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And still, this is the thing I want to always break is that it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter what your expertise is. It doesn't matter when somebody enters into your energy field somewhere in your world and kind of like flips it upside down. So tell us what happened. What was the circumstances?
Yeah. So I don't have the typical romantic relationship situation of abuse. This wasn't a romantic partner for me. It was a working relationship with someone that I was just getting to know. And, you know, everything was great on the surface. And we decided to, you know, work together a little more closely. And so, you know, more communication. And over time, I mean, confusing really is one of the key words in all this for me, because I was very, very confused for a very long time. And over time, I started to just question, like, what's going on? Because I wasn't feeling good. And I didn't understand why I wasn't feeling good.
And when you say you weren't feeling good, were you physically not feeling good? It was just like something felt off. What is it? What do you mean?
Yeah. It's one of those things that is a little challenging to describe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It definitely was a feeling of something's off.
Something's off. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't quite put my finger on it. Something's off.
Yes.
And it, for me, a huge, huge component of it is literally my energy was being drained.
Mm.
And I've never had an experience like this in my life before. So I didn't understand. I just was like, what's happening? And I didn't have energy. You know, it started out in small doses and then it became these longer periods. And as I started to question and try to figure out what was going on, then I started to one by one over a period of time, see some of the patterns and go, oh my goodness, it's connected to this other person, you know, that I'm in communication with and working with. And then started to see deeper, you know, more and more things that were happening that I kept trying to rationalize.
Yeah. And that's a key. And so I just want to, so a lot of time, you know, sometimes they're called emotional vampires because they're sucking the energy out of you. And I love that you just said you felt something, but you couldn't put your finger on it. That is such a key for people listening, no matter where they are. So it's like, because it's so easy to doubt yourself, right?
It is.
You always put the person, it's like, well, they're in this position, they're good, they're blah, blah, blah. And yet there's something that you can't put your finger on. And that's such an important thing to listen to. Plus I want to commend you because you are so in tune with yourself. You could actually feel that something's wrong, but I can't put my finger on it. So a lot of people can't even get there. They know something is wrong, but they won't like be able to move forward on that.
Well, and that was part of, so I'm huge on what am I learning from this situation? Yeah. So there was so much of me diving in and journaling and trying to figure out, you know, what is happening and what am I learning? So that was one of the big things, is it really taught me how to be listening to my body more, I love, Rosie, that you said emotional vampire. The phrase that I was using was energy vampire, because that's what resonated for me.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing is throughout this, I learned so, so, so much. But one thing that really stands out to me, especially when I'm having a conversation like this, is there's a whole vocabulary that I never felt any connection to. I never used terms like energy vampire or manipulation or my life force being drained. I literally felt like that. When you say, how did I not feel well? That's how I felt. I felt like my life force energy was being drained. And I know that sounds dramatic.
It's just like, oh my God. And you feel that, and not to be ignored. It's like nothing is wrong with you. Hello, listener. Nothing is wrong with you. When you feel that, that means something is wrong with that relationship with that person. Something is, they're sucking you out and they're not conscious of it either, but still you don't have to be subject to it. Yeah. So important. So what were some of the other things that you experienced or realized? And you said, how long was this? 6 months, 9 months, a year?
This was roughly 9 months where, being in connection with this person, but it didn't end right after that 9 months. I mean, when I finally had to make a break, when I finally had all the pieces together and finally felt that I could take that bigger step in disengaging, disconnecting from this other person, what I want to say is so much of this for my situation was, it felt like mental manipulation.
Yeah, sure. It is.
Yeah. And it felt like no matter if I'm even if I'm not in connection with this person, meaning, not communicating with them, not talking to them, not messaging them, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. Even when that wasn't happening, or when we finally got to a place where it wasn't happening anymore, then it's like, it didn't matter. It felt like there was still this energetic cord between me and this other person that I somehow couldn't break. And that was one of the, I think, most frustrating aspects of this, because I was doing everything I could to create more boundaries, be more self-loving to myself, and say no in a more firm way. All of these things that came out of this situation. And yet I couldn't seem to make that break between this energetic hold that I felt this relationship, this person had on me. So I don't know how woo-woo your audience is, but for me, it did go into that realm of learning about, energetically cutting the cord, mm-hmm. learning how to, I was already big on grounding my energy, but learning how to ground my energy and even more so really feel solid and grounded in being protected within my energy and knowing that, look, no one else outside of me can have the power. At this point, I didn't realize someone could attach in, but I do now, and I choose to no longer allow that. Mm-hmm. So that was part of it for me. Everyone may not relate to that, but that was a huge thing for me. So
this is also really, I get everything. I've done energetic cord cutting. I've done, you name it, I have probably done it, right? Because, and that mental attachment is because there's this call, it's called trauma bonding. And so you don't realize there's this trauma bonding. So you're constantly your thoughts become obsessed with this. And so it's like you're driving yourself crazy. First, they've driven yourself crazy, and then you drive yourself crazy. That's why, when I talk about this, it's like when I, my mission of inspiring 100 million women to release themselves of the shackles of abuse or narcissism or whatever, it's not just the physical abuse, it's the mental abuse. To create your own freedom, because until you have that inner freedom, that personal freedom, that freedom to really be you, and you can't do that as long as you've got that going on, it's really, really hard. And I want the listener to hear too is how quickly this happens.
Yeah.
It happens, and you didn't have words, you didn't have the vocabulary, right? That was the other, I didn't have a vocabulary area either. And that's why I do this, is so people can hear what happens. I can't put my finger on it. I felt emotionally drained. This is part of the vocabulary to say, oh, gaslighting is sort of the technical term for the mental abuse, right?
That was another word I did not use. And let me say this, because one of the things I love about you, Rosie, is you are such a strong woman and you advocate for strong women who, even when they least expect it, can still have an experience like this. And I definitely relate to that. I've always seen myself as a strong person. I have been told, a few times in my life, oh, you're too nice, Kim. And yet I'm like, well, I'm aware of how and when I'm being nice, and it's okay. I choose to be nice. One of the things that this situation, my situation, really brought up for me though, is understanding that there may come a situation in life for the nice person where you're going to have to be the not so nice person to be respectful of you when another person does not choose to be respectful of you. So what I mean by that is I felt like I was being open and communicative with this person, that I was going to those places of saying, okay, you know, things aren't quite working out. This is what I was still trying to put all the pieces together. Mm-hmm. So I would have, you know, conversations with them. Okay, look, you know, this happened in our situation. We need to, you know, resolve this. And, you know, those difficult conversations where you're trying to resolve things and make sure that you have a healthy connection moving forward. You know, there were things that I said no to that were a little like, okay, you know, I'm drawing my boundary. And it's like, even though I did all these things where I thought I was doing good and holding my own, this person still chose to overstep boundaries time and time again. And I think that was part of the confusion for me because I thought I was doing everything the right way. And I had to learn not everyone is going to be as respectful and honor the boundaries that you set up for yourself or for the connection the way that, you know, that you see that you're doing that. So that was something that I really had to get clear on because I didn't understand. I'm like, well, but I am standing up for myself. I am communicating. I am saying what I need. And yet this person did not ever respect any of that. So one of the things that happened, and this I think was definitely a little turning point in our connection, was in one of the times that I was having a difficult conversation with this person, being respectful, right? Both parties sharing what's going on, thinking that we're on the same page. Everything is, you know, okay, good. You know, we're adding to a healthy connection for us by sharing. In me realizing I had to be a little more specific with some of my words because they didn't hear things that I said the first time around, I had to be a little more direct in as kind of a way as I could. And this person actually chose to call me mean.
Oh, you're mean.
And now here's the thing, that is like, there's way worse things someone could call a person, right?
You're mean.
Exactly. Yeah. And at the time I'm thinking, no, I'm not being mean. I'm being, you know, I'm standing up for myself. I'm being direct. I wasn't being mean at all. And yet for a person who is too nice, being called mean can become a hurdle,
yes.
Can become something that makes you feel stifled. And so this was one of the things, just one of the things that I realized this person has two faces. They were showing one face to me and another face to other people. And that was another aspect of it that was very confusing when I realized, oh my God, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde thing going on.
Yes. Yes. Those are another words, or Jekyll and Hyde, sometimes nice, sometimes not nice. Yes.
And so this was, you know, so again, just kind of going back to what am I learning? I learned for myself, oh, wow, that was kind of a place I wasn't willing to go. Well, I don't want to be perceived as mean. Mm. So I started holding back some. I started not saying, let's have a conversation about this or that, because I already learned this person twists things. Even when they agree to things and it sounds like we're on the same page and it's like, okay, good. You know, we resolve that. We can move forward. 2 seconds later, I would see them literally do the opposite. And I'm like, what just happened? Like, didn't we just have that conversation? So it was that kind of thing happening over and over again. Subtle little things they would weave into conversations where I'm thinking, what just happened? Why did they say that to me? And so
kind of cutting you down just a little bit here, just a little chip here, a little chip there. And just like, it's like, you kind of like back up. And this whole thing about being nice, the people pleaser, right?
Versus
kind and boundaries and getting that all mixed, all that kind of gets all convoluted and creates that doubt in women being, you know, well, we grow up to be nice and we grow up to be, you know, pleasing to everybody. And you're calling me mean. And it's like you said, you had to like really be conscious of thinking about that. And, you know, that kindness takes courage. It is not about being selfish or being a people pleaser. And it's being kind to yourself is really holding yourself up.
Exactly. And it also got me to start to look at, wow, you know, how am I allowing someone else's definition or description of what's mean or nice influence how I allow myself to show up for me?
Yes.
Versus at that point when, you know, when that happened, I realized, you know, that's when I just like kind of stepped back a little bit and let this person start to take over. And it over time, more and more was like, I'm just being steamrolled and I'm just trying to like keep up. I'm trying to, you know, like keep, I mean, that's basically it. It was just trying to keep up and it was, it, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I get that. I, you know, because that's what happens in all, in these kinds of relationships is that you start to give up a part of who you are.
It's yes.
Like, okay. Just give up because it's so exhausting
yes.
to keep putting forth your message, your thoughts, your voice, and they don't hear it. They just go, so you just like, oh my, okay. I just want some peace. I'm just going to give up, you know, whatever. And, but that whatever, and those kinds of behaviors, then you start to lose a little bit of you, lose a little bit of you, lose a little bit of you. And then it's like, oh my God, what has just happened here? And you know, you're not happy. And the signs become even bigger because now you start to probably feel a little bit physically ill. If it's not just a stomach ache, a headache or whatever. I mean, something starts to happen. So it's like nothing is feeling right. Yet I thought I set my boundary, but in reality, it really wasn't.
Exactly. And that's, that was part of it that was, again, I guess confusing is the word of the hour, is was so confusing because I thought I did, I was doing everything right. I was like, no, I am speaking up. I am setting my boundaries. I am.
Yeah. I'm doing all things right, which is really good. I'm glad you're saying this because people will say, oh yeah, well, I did that too. I spoke up. I set my boundary. I did this, but still, right?
I think this is, you know, to me, this is the part where it, not only did it get me to realize, okay, you know, where can I be, take my boundaries even further, you know, like be even firmer in setting boundaries. It got me to stop doubting myself in an area I didn't realize I was doubting myself
mm-hmm.
because that was it. I didn't realize that, okay, well, I thought I did this and I'm questioning what they're doing and somehow thinking that it really came to this place. Like the name of your show, Vulnerable to Valuable. Learning that I was valuable more than I had valued myself up to then, and learning how to stand in my power.
Every episode, I offer a mini masterclass on the 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. You can get the guidebook to all 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars right now. Simply go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and hit the subscribe button to get your copy. The only way to move forward and have an impact in your life is to get awareness of where you're at and discover what's holding you back. Following the 11 pillars, I was then able to develop strategies to create my business, become an international award-winning entrepreneur, speaker, and author, find the love of my life, and I use these pillars every day to create a fulfilled life. These are the same ones that I use with my clients. And now they are yours free. Go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe. And we're back with Kim O'Neill, confidence coach.
It's weird. When I already thought I stood in my power, but learning to stand in my power and not let someone else's words, claims, manipulation overshadow what I know for me to be true. It got me to really take a stand for that way more and stop being that person that's trying to like balance everything. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything's wrong with balancing everything, but learning that no, there comes a time when other people are just not going to be as respectful as you would expect them to be. And so are you allowing yourself to be overshadowed? So anyway, so self-value yeah. was a huge lesson in all this as well.
Oh, I love that. And just, and getting to the point where, you know, what is my truth? Finding my truth and be able to trust myself again and trust others, because this can impact, oh, your relationship as you go forward with other people. Gee, can I yes. trust anybody in like whoever that person is in that particular field? You know, when you was like, mine's an extreme. It's like when I came back to the United States, like I couldn't trust another man. And then I got an abusive coach and it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can trust a coach and I don't know if I can trust a male coach. I mean, all these like, you know, it's like, who am I? And that journey of who you are and knowing your truth. So what were some of the steps? You've already mentioned quite a few, but of, you know, really finding your own truth.
Well, one of the things when I was first starting to tune into, okay, something's going on here. Mm-hmm. What is happening? You know, one of my backgrounds is as a law of attraction coach, which, you know, a lot of that says, you know, like attracts like, and bear with me because I want to add to this. I don't entirely believe this, and this situation brought me to a new understanding of this. is that like attracts like, you know, that what you see in others also exists in you. And I had to really question and go, what is going on? Because are you kidding me? How is that possible? So as I started to delve into, this is what I'm experiencing with this person. This is how I would describe them. Just to start to unpack all this and figure some of it out, I did start to ask myself those questions. Okay, hold on. You know, how am I possibly, oh dear God, manipulative? Or, how am I, you know, in what ways am I controlling? And so the things that I would describe them, and I would look at myself and ask myself these questions, I was able to go, okay, no, I'm not controlling in the same way that this person's controlling to me. Where am I overly controlling in other areas of my life? How can I start to release some of that? Because where you can release it in one area allows you to be able to release it in other areas. So that was a starting point. The other piece I want to add about that, you know, it, like attracts like, is what I've really learned is that when there are some lessons that we need to learn are going to be most beneficial for us and our personal growth, our cell growth, our mission moving forward, is that there are going to be people that show up to help teach us those lessons. Mm-hmm. And this was a huge piece of it for me because I didn't realize there was this whole other dark side to someone not being able to feel confident, not be able to feel whole in their being because of an outside source of something else that is really taking over their mind, their energy. And this situation taught me about that firsthand. And so, you know, for anybody listening who's thinking, what, you know, this isn't, you know, like attracts like in my situation, is it possible that whoever your abuser is, whoever your person is that taught you these just really painful lessons, I totally get how awful this is that how did it also make you stronger?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And when people are ready to take that lesson and to know, I mean, this is why it's so great talking to you, because you are somebody who looks in and you're okay. You went to where's the lesson. So many are just like, they're not even there yet. So it's just by you saying that, it's like, oh, there's a lesson here. It's not all about me and like it's against me, but it's something that, yes, this was not a good experience. But instead of just saying this is not a good experience and just being bitter about it, it's just like, okay, how can I become a better person? How can I be even more empowered and stronger? How can I treat somebody else better? How can I treat myself better, right?
Yes.
So much of this becomes reflected back onto us. So many women who've been abused, they hear, you know, you're stupid, you're lousy, and they start saying the same things to themselves, right? Oh, well, I'm just, you know, I'm not as good as I thought I was. I'm not smart enough. I mean, all that self-doubt, right, that we have to kind of work through. It's like, maybe you just start with yourself.
And I really want to say, I love that you're mentioning that, you know, it's you don't jump from the situation to, you know, learning from it immediately. I personally felt incredibly victimized. I couldn't believe how much of a victim, how isolated, how alone I felt in the situation. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel I could talk to anybody about it for a very long time. And so, I mean, this took me to some very dark places and it was very, very uncomfortable. And for me, as I was able to move forward, which is definitely was a process, then it was like, okay, I know that I felt victimized and I know that I don't want to stay feeling victimized. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was also part of the transition. But even in that space, I still had a ton of fear about this person, about people like this. How am I ever going to spot this again? Because I didn't spot it the first time around, right? I had no idea something like this was going to come through a working relationship where that was even possible. So all of those things, you know, still continually to work on healing myself and allowing myself to just also be where I was. And so one of the things that happened, Rosie, is this was very traumatic for me. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe when I had a few different moments where I realized, oh my God, I was traumatized and I'm having PTSD like reactions, mm-hmm. you know, seeing the person's name or seeing their face somewhere or just other things that triggered a memory would like show up. And all of a sudden I would just internally feel so tense, right. And yeah, mm-hmm. So all of that. And what happened for me is months down the line, I was in a situation, another working situation with someone who is not like the person where that I had my situation with, but yet eventually there was a situation between me and this new person that started to emulate what I experienced with the first person. And for me, I was definitely having a PTSD reaction because I was internally freaking out, thinking, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, it's happening again. What do I do? How do I get out of this? And for me, I think the good thing was I'd already done enough looking at what's going on here, being able to spot some of the signs. And I felt like a little bit of a do-over for me because in the first situation, had I known what was happening as it was happening, then I would have taken a bolder stance and said, you know what? I think it's best if we don't work together. I think it's best to part ways. I did not feel like I could say that early on. I felt in a way trapped. I felt like I was already committed and couldn't back out because that just would screw a bunch of things up. And with this new situation, here I am. Oh my goodness. In a similar, it was a one-time situation with this new person and feeling like, okay, this is my opportunity to have a do-over. And I had to say, look, I recognize the signs and I choose to stand up for myself. And I backed out of a situation with this new person in as best of a diplomatic, respectful, professional way possible. And I'll be honest, it was very hard to do, but it also gave me some of that confidence of, okay, look, I can do this. If something like this were to ever show up again, I do know what to do. I do know how to extricate myself from it when it shows up. So I just want to say that, for anybody, go ahead.
That is such a great lesson. And it shows that it doesn't mean that it was easy, but it just shows that, how much you had healed to be able to do that. Cause when you're triggered, you can, like when I was triggered in the beginning, I would be out sometimes weeks from the trauma. Now, if my ex enters my field, it may be 5 minutes or something. Depends what it is. I might get upset or just like, oh brother, there he is again. The faster you recover from the trigger, the more healing you've done. And I think that's such a great example. And look, you took the action, right? I just love that you took that action and it just like you called it what it is. You didn't have to live through it again, right?
Yeah. And I will say that, my goodness, I mean, yeah, my situation, I feel fortunate that it was only 9 months versus...
I've heard less than that. They've gotten, the stories I've heard, and within 3 months, she was engaged, moved halfway across the country,
wow.
Sold everything she had. It was crazy. So it doesn't take, and that's the other key. These things they can take a longer time before it shows up, but it doesn't have to. And to be aware, to listen to yourself and to know. Yeah. And again, this whole thing of, you look back, oh, I could have, should have done it, but you don't know, right? You
exactly.
Did the best you could with what you knew. And boy, you did so much internal work, so much work that it paid off. And yes, it took a lot of courage, but the courage, this is when we have to make the choice, I think, Kim, which you did, is I recognize the signs. And yes, it may be difficult for me to express myself, but I got to show up for me because no one else is going to show up for me. And I know that's not a relationship that makes me feel good and that I can show up in.
I love that you brought that up, Rosie. That was also, I mean, again, there were so many lessons out of this. That was also one of the big things for me is as I was analyzing this whole situation and how it unfolded, I realized I had been unknowingly been giving over. I mean, I do feel this person was sucking the life out of me, but at the same time, I was allowing it because I hadn't backed out. I had continued to engage. And so I was allowing it. And this person was always from my perspective, how things happened, they were always putting themselves first. Good for them. It was time for me to put myself first. And mm-hmm. So if they want to call me mean, they want to call me whatever other names they want to call me. They want to say one thing to my face and tell other people something different. So be it. I'm going to take that stand for myself, regardless of what anybody else is going to say about me.
Yes.
And it was, so in many ways, it was a test, how much are you willing to stand firm for yourself, regardless of what anybody else chooses to say or do? And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. I choose me. I'm not going to allow myself to be sacrificed for someone else.
It takes courage to be kind to yourself.
It does.
It really does. But who lives with yourself all the time? Right?
Yes.
Right? Instead of having all those thoughts and thinking about that and getting sucked in, everything else, your thoughts end up driving you crazy, but it's you, right? It's all us. It's all about empowering us and being kind to us. And we're not here to change people if they don't want to be changed, right?
Right.
We can't do that. We can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. We can't help somebody listen or hear something if they're not willing to listen. And so we just say, okay, goodbye. And the other thing that I want to point out, what you said was about felt stuck. And that's why you couldn't say no the first time, but the second time you could. And this is such an important, again, feeling. If you have that feeling that you're stuck, right, listener, if you feel stuck, this is another big sign that something is not right and needs to be addressed. And it's only up to you, right? You had to take the action. It took a little while, but it always, because we're not ready for that. We're not preparing for this kind of a battle, right? We haven't been trained soldiers into the world of narcissism and how it all manifests, right? So no putting ourselves down, but that feeling of stuckness and I can't do anything. So many women believe that, which, you know, you're an example, I'm an example. And so many of my guests are examples that is not the case. You think you're stuck because they've made your world small. You've made your world small, but that is not the truth. So I'm so glad you shared that. So important. You're fabulous. So how can our listener get more about you and learn more about you?
Yeah. So they can definitely go to kimoneillcoaching.com, and O'Neill is O-N-E-I-L-L. They can also connect with me over on Facebook, the Everyday is a New Day show and coaching page. And I definitely invite people, you know, anybody who resonates with my story, you know, that was also one of the big things out of this. I thought I did not go through this for no reason. I did not go through this to not be able to support others through something like this, because this just brought up so many new layers of, you know, emotions, of mental resilience, you know, of standing in your power, being who you are, that are immensely helpful and beneficial. But I will be honest and say, it really did help when I did start to elicit other people to help me out.
Yes.
And so, you know, I along the way eventually had a couple of friends that said, "Hey, Kim, you know, I can tell something's off with you. Like, what's going on?" And these were safe people for me that I could just share, you know, this thing's happening and it's been really hard. And they were able to help fill in some of those gaps and talk to me about cord cutting. And I had a really powerful cord cutting experience the night that someone first, you know, introduced that to me, that helped show me that, okay, there's something, you know, so much more going on here than just some mental games. There absolutely is an energetic connection that I cannot seem to detach from on my own. At least I felt that way in the moment. So yes, yeah. Absolutely seek out help. I definitely
agree. Yeah, I think that's such a good comment, because again, they, you know, we think that, oh, no one will understand. We can't, and such a big mistake to not reach out for help. That is like number one. Get somebody who believes in you. And if you talk to somebody and they don't quite get it, just go to somebody else, because there are plenty of us out here who are willing to help you and support you in whatever manner. Now, do you have a little gift for our listener?
I do. So I have a few freebies on my website. One they might like the most is my free guided meditation. It's called Get Grounded and Regain Inner Peace. And it's 13 minutes that just, you know, takes the listener inward, helping you to feel more whole from the inside out.
So important, because the last thing you do is you don't feel inner peace when you go through this. That's the last thing. It's like, oh my God, it's all I want is I want some peace, but it comes from within. Boy, that is just like perfect. Perfect. Well, all these links will be in the show notes. I want to ask you, as I ask all my guests, and is, what does love is kind mean to you, Kim?
That's such a great question. We've already said it during the show. For me, it absolutely, first and foremost, is being kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How are you being kind to yourself? Not judging your process, your healing process, your experience against someone else's. We may have so many areas of overlap and similarities, and we may still have differences, and that's okay. Allow yourself to be present with your experience. Go at your own pace. Be kind to you and respect and honor what your truth is. You know, no one else has to. We want other people to identify with our story, but even if nobody ever does, it's okay to own and, you know, honor yourself and your situation first, because that's one of the best ways you can be kind to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. And my belief is that when you're kind to yourself, you can give more.
Yes.
You can see kindness. A kindness comes to you. You can be kinder to more people. It just becomes a win-win. But like you said, it starts with yourself.
Yeah.
Well, it has been a pure delight to have you. Thank you for being vulnerable and becoming valuable on our show.
Thank you, Rosie.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.